From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Reward for the Righteous. The text is Psalm 58, verse 11. So that a man shall say, Verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. God's judgments in this life are not always clearly to be seen, for in many cases one event happeneth alike to all. This is the state of probation, not of punishment or reward. Yet at times God works terrible things in righteousness, and even the careless are compelled to own His hand. Even in this life, righteousness has that kind of reward which it prefers above all others, namely, the smile of God, which creates a quiet conscience. Sometimes other recompenses follow, for God will be in no man's debt. But at the same time, the chief reward of the righteous lies in the hereafter. Meanwhile, on a large scale, we mark the presence of the great ruler among the nations. He breaks in pieces oppressive thrones and punishes guilty peoples. No one can study the history of the rise and fall of empires without perceiving that there is a power which makes for righteousness and in the end brings iniquity before its bar and condemns it with unsparing justice. Sin shall not go unpunished, and goodness shall not remain unrewarded. The judge of all the earth must do right. Therefore, let us fear before him, and no more dread the power of the wicked.
Thank you.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is dealing with chapter 3, focusing on verses 21 through 26. Dr. Cairns called verse 21 of chapter 3 the hinge of history. With the words, "But now," Paul begins to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his own righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. Paul had experienced God's saving power firsthand, and it thrilled his soul. To the end of his life, he never got over the wonder of being a recipient of salvation. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God apart from the works of the law. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message.
This is the glory of the gospel, that there is a conformity to divine law by a divine work, and it's given freely to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's divinely provided. It's provided for us without any work of any description on our behalf or on our part. It's received by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Verse 22, it is revealed to all, but it is effective only in believers. 22 and 23, it is the same for all, both Jews and Gentiles. For all, both Jews and Gentiles, are sinners. Verse 24, it is conferred by grace, and it's conferred by gift. Grace provides it, and it's given to us as of God. And then in verses 24 and 25, some of the deepest and yet the most glorious words in the whole canon of Scripture. It stands on the basis. Now let's understand what I'm saying. This righteousness with which God invests believers, this righteousness which lets them stand in the presence of God, that lets them appear at the judgment bar and be welcomed into heaven, equal as heirs of God with Jesus Christ. This righteousness stands on the basis of the satisfaction of God's justice by the sacrifice of Christ, a redeeming sacrifice, that's its effect toward you and me, a propitiatory sacrifice, that's its effect upon God. It propitiates God. That's a very big word we may get time to look at in a week or two's time. So that's what it's all about. This is Paul saying, I'm here to talk about this righteousness revealed. Now, this gospel has results. Verses 26 to 31. First result is, verse 26, very clearly, it declares the excellence of Christ. Let me make this clear. Any professed gospel that does not send people out convinced of the excellence of Christ is a false gospel. The very first thing the gospel does, it declares the excellence of Christ. Verse 26, the second part, it demonstrates the justice of God. Verse 27 and 28, it excludes all boasting on our part. There's no ground for boasting. If you're saved, we ask what Paul asked the Corinthians, what have you that you didn't receive? What did you ever do to get what you've now got? What did you ever do to merit it? Why would you not be in hell along with Nebuchadnezzar on the one hand and Hitler on the other? Why would you not already be in hell? What have you ever done that would merit anything else but hell? Not a thing. And yet, there's so many people, they have the worst kind of pride of all, and that's so-called pride of grace. I grew up listening to that, the kinds of pride. I think the one was a dig at the women. They talked about pride of place, that was men, getting up in business and all the rest of it, they thought they were something. The women was pride of face. And I'm sure you've all a lot to be proud of. I never get in the wrong side of a woman. And the third one was pride of grace. Well, I don't know if you've anything to be proud of in your place. I doubt it. I was just reading a little paragraph by the great Presbyterian preacher Clarence McCartney. And McCartney said about people who were so proud, he said, you know, in the northern states, the leading families of the northern states are descendants of rum merchants Jamaican rum merchants, slavers, made their money in slave ships and slave labor. The leading families in the southern states, he said, are the descendants of people who were shipped out on special tickets as criminals found guilty in London's Old Bailey Court. So we have all a whole lot to be proud of. As Willie Nicholson, the Presbyterian preacher from Northern Ireland, said many years ago when he got people so proud of their place, he said if they'd only go back far enough, they'd find that their first parents were thrown out of the garden for stealing an apple. So we're all of very poor genealogy. But there are people proud of place. If you're proud of that, the Lord help your wit. You have a lot to learn. But the least thing we've ever got to be proud of is grace. Why am I not in hell? This always amazes me. Why am I not in hell? I grew up with fellas. I have every reason to believe that some of them are in hell tonight. Why am I not there? Grace, and nothing but grace. There's no room for boasting. But not only does this include or exclude boasting, it includes all men, both Jews and Gentiles, and it shows that there's only one God for the whole world. And then Paul reaches this great climax. And he says, this gospel has the result of establishing God's law. Now that's a big statement, and I'm not going to have time to deal with it much tonight. I'll get back to it ultimately, I hope. But again, if Paul is right there, and of course he is, you realize that what passes for the gospel in most churches in America tonight is a forgery. It's a fraud. We have people running around rejoicing that the law of God is gone. Not just as a covenant of life, not just as a condition of salvation, but as a standard for living. They kick over the traces. They think to be free from the law, oh happy condition, is not to be free from the curse and the condemnation of the law, but it's to be free from the restraints of the law. And anything that masquerades as the gospel, that violates the law of God, is a forgery and a fraud. For Paul says, by this justifying righteousness, we establish God's law. Now, this is how he works out his whole theme. Talking about righteousness, what it means, and the results of this gospel. When you put it all together, the doctrine is big, but it's clear. Paul is saying here, and I want you to get this clearly in your hearts, that God, and this is an important word, righteously justifies sinners. God righteously justifies sinners. He doesn't violate his law or his own character. The gospel is the perfect expression of the character of God. He righteously justifies sinners. And here are two important words: by graciously and gratuitously. We'll deal with that in due time. Providing them with a perfect righteousness to be received by faith alone in the merits of Christ's atoning and redeeming sacrifice. And in doing this, God demonstrates his own perfect justice and mercy silences the pride of man and establishes his own perfect law. Now, that's Paul's doctrine, and that's what we're going to try and explore for the next 3 weeks. This is the doctrine that always set Paul's heart on fire. I get a wee bit worried when people say doctrine deadens. If your doctrine deadens, either you're not saved or your doctrine's of the devil. Or you're backslidden and you can't enjoy the truth of God's word. If doctrine deadens, there's something radically wrong with you or with your doctrine. Doctrine didn't deaden Paul. Doctrine set Paul on fire with the joy and the love of the Lord. When Paul thought about this, I'm a sinner. By nature, I'm a sinner. By practice, I'm a sinner. I am condemned by my own sin to the everlasting burnings of a never-ending hell. But God has righteously intervened to give me a righteousness that is going to carry me right through the judgment to the very heights of glory, to take my seat with Christ enthroned on high. Man, I want to tell you, that didn't deaden Paul. That rejoiced his heart. That's why in chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I think that's a deliberate understatement. Paul says, I'm boasting about the gospel. And boast is a word that Paul uses in various places in his epistles. He said, God forbid that we should glory or boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul boasted of the gospel. Everywhere he went, he boasted of the gospel. He was rejoicing in the gospel. It thrilled his heart. Now, there's a big subject. And I mean, I have to be careful. I haven't got yet within half a mile of preaching. I'm just getting my voice to the place where I'm sure it's there. But listen to this. It thrilled him. What he believed thrilled him. Do you know why the charismatic movement has taken off so much? Do you know why people are taken in with counterfeit emotion? Because when they come to churches, they're as dead as the local cemetery. And the people in it may as well have been buried years ago. We have people who imagine that emotion is something that ought to have no place. Preachers shouldn't get emotional. Stand up and read a learned essay. You know, I would far rather work for Greenville City or County collecting your garbage than to stand up here reading your learned essays. If what I believe doesn't move my own heart, why on earth should it be worthwhile telling to you? He was filled with emotion. I believe in emotional religion. As long as the emotion is not the product of some slick operation, not the product of some psychological gimmickry, but it's the product of deep and powerful truth, the product of seeing Christ in his glory, the product of understanding the grace of God in all its majesty. When you see great truth, it's bound to have an effect upon you. It's bound to give a deep emotion. Paul was certainly thrilled with this gospel, and well might he be. This is the gospel that gave him perfect assurance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.